Now, when I read the brief for my next guest, I know his book is the kind of book that will literally be glued to me as soon as I get it. I'm going to buy it as well, and I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by author David Thorne. Hello.
Hello.
It's nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
When I looked at your brief, I was like, wow, he's done so much. Before we talk about your book, it's called East of Innocence. You've been a writer for over 15 years. When did you first realise you had a gift for writing?
That's a good question. I think I kind of fell into a job writing in advertising, kind of by mistake. I was a bicycle messenger after leaving university, and the guy who worked there asked me what I wanted to do with my life, and I didn't know. He said, I've got a friend who works in advertising. Do you want to fancy that? And I said, oh, yeah, I'll give it a go. So I started writing ads, and not really knowing if I had talent or not, but, it turned out I was decent at it. So after a year or so, I thought, I can do this. I'm quite good at this. And then I suppose from then on, writing's been all I've done.
Can you tell us any of the ads you did? Are they quite humorous ones or just...
I did some humorous ones. Yeah, I did one of those, when you go to a cinema, you get the orange sort of film board ads. Maybe you don't, but anyway, they're kind of funny ads for Orange, which I did a few of. Mm-hmm. Shows them how long ago it was, because I don't think Orange exists anymore, does it?
No, they've been taken over by EE.
Oh, well. I recently did one for Lynx, actually, about they launched a fragrance for women, too. So I did an ad about the chaos that ensues. So, yeah, no, I did quite a lot of kind of humorous radio and TV ads. Mm. But just a bit of everything, really.
Now, what writers do you like to read and why? So who do you like to snuggle down with a book?
I suppose most of the writers I read are American writers. So in terms of crime, Dennis Lehane, always look out for a Dennis Lehane book, or Martin Cruz Smith. But also the English writers in terms of crime too, Robert Wilson I really enjoy. And of course Lee Child, who, although he sets things in the States, he's a British writer. So, yeah, I kind of like... I like the crime that's set somewhere else, really. So in the States, or Robert Wilson, although he's English, he sets it in Spain. So, yeah.
This is the first book you've actually written the sequel, but this is the first. Is this the first book you've actually written?
The first book I've written, yeah. And yeah, after a few false starts.
So what is it? Because the thing is, everybody says, "Oh, I think I could write a book," and you're like, "No, you can't." Because if you actually sat down and you tried to do it, it's all about it's just about the pacing and actually getting the story out there. So how do you sit down and get the characters and everything together?
It's a good question. I suppose after 15 years of writing both advertising and TV, I've had a lot of kind of practice in structuring things. I think with this, the story just was there in my head, and it was just a case of working out all of the twists and turns and kind of putting them down in chapters. Mm. So it was quite structured before I even started writing. But actually, it wasn't that hard. I think all writers are very different. I write quite fast-paced.
Yeah.
So the book's quite fast-paced. It's quite concise. And I think that's from writing in TV and advertising teaches you to keep everything very short.
Yeah.
So I think that was quite a good education in that respect, that keep your pace going and going and going, keep people's interest, because obviously when you're doing a 1 minute or 30 second TV or radio ad, then you need to kind of keep it moving pretty quickly. So that helped, I think.
Now, you've worked in television and radio comedy, writing for comedians such as Jimmy Carr, Alan Carr, David Mitchell and Bob Mortimer, along with BAFTA-winning Armstrong and Miller shows, including Facejacker, Harry and Paul, Alan Carr, Chatty Man. How did you get into writing that as well? And have you got humour in the book? Although the book's quite dark, have you got humour in the book?
No. Although, no, some people do think, tell me there are funny bits, but I did try to keep it out. So I was freelancing in advertising for years. I didn't have a proper job for years and years and years. And one of the places I worked at shared a floor with a TV production company. I always fancied it, so they were working on a sketch show at the time, so I said, oh, do you fancy a few free ideas?
Yeah.
So I submitted some, and some of them made it to the show. And because it's such a tiny world, TV, specifically TV comedy, as soon as you're in with one producer, he'll speak to another producer who says, oh, we've got another show, do you fancy working on that? And then it kind of snowballs, so... Yeah, just from doing contributing to one show, then that grew into working on loads and loads of different ones.
Is it a serious business, comedy? We always think it's going to be sitting there having a laugh and a few cakes around the table, but I bet it's quite serious.
It depends. It can be serious. It can be quite... So when I was writing for Alan Carr's Chatty Man, there were about five writers on the show. Mm. We used to sit in a room around a big long table, producer would come in the morning with the day's news and say, right, these are the five stories we're writing jokes about today.
Yeah.
And everyone would have a laptop, and it was kind of dedicated laptop for one topic. So you, and you'd have a 45 minutes to write about 30 jokes about Katie Price or whatever the
thing was. That's quite
easy. Yeah. And then what you do is you take the laptop and you pass it to the writer next to you, and so you pass it right, and then the writer to your left would give you his laptop, so you could see all of their jokes.
Yeah.
And then you'd add your own, and the atmosphere in the room, the competition, the hatred between the writers as they read, that's funnier than mine. It wasn't very funny, it was quite pressurised.
That is quite pressurised, 45. Could you imagine you might be in there for like 6 hours and come up with like a classic, and did you ever sort of pass it on the computer and you'd just written nothing?
Well, this is the
and
thing,
how did they know?
That goes to your head, right? Whether it's better to write nothing or to write a lot of really bad jokes, which they're going to read and know that you'll... So, I sometimes wrote 5 rather than 30, but, it kind of took the fun out of it a bit. There was more fun when you write on your own, then you bring it to the production team and say, right, these are the sketches I've written, what do you think?
Yeah.
Because you can have a bit of fun.
But it must be good when you go and you put on the television, because I would be, if that was me, if I wrote comedy, I'd be like, Mum, Dad, all my friends come out. It's coming up now, this is me. I wrote that bit. Did you actually get people sort of sitting around, that's me?
Certainly toward the beginning I did. I'd be glued to it thinking, I'm writing Skype, plussing it or whatever, you know, making sure I had it. But after we've done the load.
Yeah.
It's just a job, you know. So, it's curious. So, if you do a sketch you really love, and you want to see it on TV, and you want to see how it turns out. But by that point, you've usually seen it anyway because you're part of the production. So,
yeah.
So now I gave up watching my own stuff towards the end.
As you can tell, if I did anything like that, it'd be straight on the Sky. It would be Sky Plusing. Now, the book East of Innocence. Now, the book is actually set in Essex, but you are from.
I'm from Bristol.
He's going to say he's from Bristol. Be careful. People with white stilettos will be outside the window in a minute. So, when did you move down to? How long have you been living in Essex?
That's a good question. How long have I? 4 years.
And how have you found it?
Yeah, I love it. Great.
Yep.
Great place to live. I mean, I never imagined I would. My wife got a job teaching out here. We lived in London, and so we moved out.
Yep.
And I've found it brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. People are lovely, and it's a great place. I mean, I have to say that, obviously. But. But it's true as well.
You do.
I owe a bit of a debt to Essex because as soon as I moved out here, that was kind of inspired the book. So if I hadn't moved out, I probably wouldn't have written the book. So, yeah, I think it's for that reason.
So tell everybody, East of Innocence, it's your debut book.
Yep.
Tell everybody, and you have written, we'll talk about the sequel a little bit after this one, but tell us all about the book and tell us about the character as well.
Okay, so I'll start with the character. So the character's... Daniel Connell, he's the son of a kind of minor villain from around here, brought up only by his father, brought up pretty badly as well, but he won a scholarship to private school, he went to university and then got a job at a top city firm, which then went catastrophically wrong after a very violent incident in the boardroom where he got sort of never got a job in the city again and found himself back in Essex working in a kind of one-man operation on really small cases as a lawyer, and just kind of the dregs, really, and just back to square one from having kind of escaped his kind of background and the misery of his father inflicted on him. He kind of made it out, and then where we meet him, he's back in Essex plying a trade which he's too intelligent for, but through his own kind of doing, he's got no choice.
And is he a likeable? Is he got, although he's quite a violent character, has he got a likeable quality to him?
Yeah, he's got a good sense of right and wrong, regardless of, he's kind of a bit of a rough diamond, but he does the right thing whenever he possibly can, but then confronted with the choices he has to make throughout the book, it can be quite hard to know what the right or the wrong thing is as he gets kind of mired into different situations. The two kind of things that happen, an old friend comes to him who's a policeman, but he went to school with, who'd been a victim of police brutality himself, and he tries to enlist Daniel's help, and also he's one of his only cases is a hit and run, which turned out to be not quite so accidental and brings him into contact with a local gangster. And so he kind of gets mired in through kind of old acquaintances from his past. He kind of gets sucked into this, back into this world he'd once escaped. And and by trying to do the right thing, get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into these situations.
Now, have you met the character Daniel Connell? Have you actually met him or somebody that you based him on?
No, I haven't. I think he's a kind of composite of a lot of people. But no, he's not based on anyone in particular. I think what I was trying to do was, it kind of follows that kind of noir detective, kind of Marlowe tradition. You've got the private detective in his office and someone walks in and unloads a whole heap of troubles on his desk. Mm. But I didn't want to do a private detective. I didn't want to do a policeman. So I thought, okay, well, if you could create a character who has a job connected with the law, but there's also got all this other baggage around him, then we can kind of, the stories will kind of create themselves through that. So that's kind of reason he is who he is. But yeah, he does, it is still that kind of Philip Marlowe tradition of a man in his office, someone walks in, and suddenly he's in a whole heap of trouble.
Now, you've actually, the TV rights have already been sold in a bidding war, I've read here, so it will be going on to, will it be a film or TV series?
Well, it's been, so the option's been bid for.
Yeah.
So a TV company has it.
Yeah.
But at the moment, there's no news about when or even if it will get made, but it's in the process of trying to be made.
Who would you see out of all the actors in the world, if you could pick who would be Daniel in your mind, if you could have any actor to play him, who would most fit the bill?
Oh, that's a good question.
I should just threw that one in.
Yeah, that is a really good question, because he's quite a big man.
Mm.
He's quite rough, but he's not quite as rough as a Ray Winstone.
Yeah.
So he's probably a bit... Do you know Jason Isaacs?
No, I will look him up, though.
Yeah, he's a bit old, but if he was 10 years younger, he'd be quite good.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig would probably do.
Yeah. If you're listening, Dan, passing through Essex.
Or the Scottish guy who was in... what's his name? Gerard Butler.
Oh, yeah.
If he could do a decent Essex accent.
Yeah. You've got to do the decent Essex accent. Exactly. You've got to have a good one. Yeah. And has he got a Cockney? Has he got a slight Cockney accent or East London type of accent?
The Daniel in the book, I think he's got one of those Essex, but there's a passage in the book actually where it talks about how he won a scholarship to private school. A teacher spotted his kind of innate intelligence, so he won a scholarship there, but obviously when he went there he was kind of proper Essex, and so he had to kind of train himself to speak not quite like that. So he's, and I think that's kind of interesting, even in the way he speaks, he's got that kind of conflict between where he or who he is. Is he the kind of son of a kind of minor villain who is proper kind of from the Essex, or is he a successful lawyer who's well qualified? And so he's, I think his voice is kind of a bit of both in my mind.
Excellent. Now, this book is called East of Innocence. It's by David Thorne. You can buy it at Amazon on all good bookshops as well. Now, you're taking part in the Essex Book Festival on the 11th of March at 7:30 at Shenfield Library. And you're also going to be attending Crime Fest as well, 2014.
Yes, I am. I'm going to be doing a reading at Essex Book Festival and doing some Q&A, I think. And I'm on a couple of panels at Crime Fest talking about one for debut novelists and one for people whose, I think its title is When Your Character Isn't Qualified to Solve Crime.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Now, don't forget, if you do want to get hold of the book, it's Daniel Connell is a disgraced ex-city lawyer, now scraping a living in Essex, a man trying to escape the long shadows of his past, but an old childhood friend visits him, asking him to help with a case of police brutality. The book is out now. You can get it. It's £12.99. It was out on just in January, and as you said, it could hopefully be on the TV over the next, how long, with Daniel Craig, Gerard Butler.
Box office, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I we're definitely going to buy this because it just stands right up my street, and really good to meet you. And
thank you very much.
Thanks, you're
a
really, really interesting guy. So thanks ever so much for coming in today, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right, just coming up to 11:45. Here's the White Stripes. I'll be back.